Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2543 with a release date of Friday, July 24th, 2026 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. D Expeditioners under 25 will activate Christmas Island. Get ready for a major meteor scatter QSO party and meet Newsline's Young Ham of the Year for 2026. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2543 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Jonesboro, Arkansas, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Our top story is about a de-expedition that is taking an extraordinary turn as eight operators, all under the age of 25, prepare to lead the activation of Christmas Island later this year. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us about this announcement.
Young radio operators will be planning, leading, and operating the VK9XYD expedition in November and December of this year through a partnership between the Pacific Islands De-Expedition Group and Youth on the Air. Although young operators have been part of previous activations, including the 3D2Y remote from Rotuma and PJ6Y on the island of Saba, the Pacific Islands Group is calling this next operation a milestone. The lead operator will be Max Friedman, N4ML. Max and his team will have veteran de-expeditioners Greg Marco, W6IZT, and Glenn Johnson, W0GJ, as on-island advisors. Making the announcement on July 20, the team said the young operators will include Connor Black, W4IPC, Tyler Schroeder, NT1S, Lucas Bartkus, LY7J, and Urgent Giri, 7Q6UJ, and that many of them were part of the two previous de-expeditions. They will be on the air for about 18 days, starting around the 16th of November. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
In the U.S., the National Weather Service has its eye on the broadcasting spectrum as a possible avenue to ensure the delivery of weather alerts. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us the details.
It's known as broadcast data casting, the distribution of data using digital television, and it's showing promise for the National Weather Service as an alternative means of getting the word out. According to a report on the TVtechnology.com website, the NWS is working with the broadcast data casting specialist, SpectraRep, to evaluate how the technology can provide a redundant pathway for delivering NOAA weather radio audio and other data during emergencies. The transmitted data would be undetected by viewers, according to the SpectraRep website. Broadcast data casting has been around for quite some time and originated with closed captioning that appears on many TV screens. Broadcast data casting is also in some European countries, although European TV employs different systems than those used in the U.S., such as digital video broadcasting and digital audio broadcasting. NOAA said that the research will help strengthen weather radio and broaden access to its information across the country. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
An amateur radio operator and broadcast professional who helped the FCC make changes in its emergency alert system has become a silent key. We hear more about him from Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Jerry LeBeau, K2SMC, had a firm foothold in radio on both the commercial and amateur side. Licensed as a ham since 1955, he made his living in the broadcast world. He was a co-founder of the Sage Broadcast Group of Stations, which had properties in the northeastern and midwestern U.S. He was also a longtime member of the Society of Broadcast Engineers. Through his company, Sage Alerting Systems, he manufactured equipment that became widely used to transmit emergency warnings for governments and for the petrochemical industry. In 1994, he became involved in the FCC's efforts to make the transition from its older emergency broadcast system to the newer emergency alert system. Jerry was 81.
What's better than a late July party? How about a second party a few weeks later? These are meteor scatter parties, and you're invited, as Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us.
HAMSAI is looking for radio operators to be calling CQ on 10 and 6 meters using the digital mode MSK144 or simply to serve as passive monitors during two upcoming meteor showers. The first are the Southern Delta Aquariids between the 29th and 31st of July, followed by the Perseids between the 12th and the 14th of August. HAMSAI is hoping to receive data collected on 28.145 MHz and 50.260 MHz, especially any WAV files of decodes and operator contact logs from WSJTX. These are not the last of this year's parties, however. The final Meteor Scatter QSO party will be during the Geminids between the 13th and the 15th of December. For operating hours and other details about how to help generate propagation data during these events, which are also friendly competitions, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
The state of Nevada is poised to become home to what's being called the world's most sensitive radio telescope. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells us what's planned.
Construction is about to begin for a radio telescope known as the Deep Synoptic Array, considered the most sensitive of its kind to date. The project is being led by Caltech, the California Institute of Technology, and is planned for the Nevada desert. According to the Caltech website, the telescope recently passed its final design review, allowing building to begin on what will ultimately be a collection of 1,650 radio dishes covering an area of 12 by 10 miles or 20 by 16 kilometers. Scientists expect the Deep Synoptic Array to have the ability to collect and identify more radio sources in any given day than any radio telescopes currently in operation. The researchers said they expect its initial survey to note nearly 1 billion objects emitting radio waves. Its special functions will include the study of pulsars, black holes, and fast radio bursts, and it raises hopes that it will detect other transient events that have gone undetected until now. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
In Vermont, the relationship between ham radio operators and an advocacy group for the disabled has a long history, and it has traveled a long road. How about more than 100 miles every year? Daniel Garcia, W2DIY, tells us about this enduring relationship.
Inside the communications trailer of the Twin State Radio Club, a handful of hams operated at several stations, always ready for the just-in-case moments that can happen when people run or ride horses along a long wooded trail in Vermont for 30 hours or more. As they have done for 34 years, the hams were supporting the Vermont 100, a fundraising challenge which drew 500 participants between the 18th and 20th of July. The runners and riders maxed out their endurance and determination in support of Vermont Adaptive Ski and Sports, which promotes accessible activities for athletes with visual and mobility impairments. The course had 10 aid stations and 4 horse holds, with amateurs present at each. Rob Mather, N1XSS, communications lead for the event, told Newsline that the course was well covered by amateur radio thanks to the Connecticut Valley FM Association's 2-meter repeater high atop Mount Ascutney. Several hams are also part of the Green Mountain Bike Patrol, which also provides medical support along the course. The trailer was equipped with public service radios as well that could contact the regional dispatch center in an emergency. Rob told Newsline, "This isn't the end of the successful run, not for the team of 60 hams or the participants out on the trail." He said, quote, "We do it all over again in September for the Vermont 50, end quote. That's another fundraiser. If you wish to be a part of the action, contact Rob via his email at n1xss@mather1.com. His email address also appears in the text version of this week's script at arnewsline.org. This is Daniel Garcia, W2DIY.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N8VAA repeater, serving parts of West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, and the Potomac Highlands Amateur Radio Club from Moorefield, West Virginia, on Monday nights at 8. Have you operated on 12 meters yet? Have you even thought of trying it? Well, meet a ham who is actually challenging you to do so. We hear more about him from Dave Lee, M9TLB.
12 meters is typically not known as the most popular band for most operators, and so Ian, EI3LH, is posing a challenge that is rooting for this presumed underdog of bands. He has launched an activity known as Midnight Runners. It's a challenge to operators to use CW or SSB only to complete 12 contacts on the band during a single operating session, a field activity such as a POTA, SOTA, lighthouses or beaches on the air. Likewise, chasers at home can qualify to be midnight runners by logging their own dozen contacts with the portable stations. Sorry, but there are no grand prizes. Those who succeed in the mission do get a reason to feel grand anyway. They receive a membership certificate declaring them one of the proud midnight runners. And right now, there aren't many. Ian writes in his blog that this activity is his way of raising the profile of the 12-meter band, which he believes is often forgotten among CW and sideband operators. He said that the concept was born as a result of a discussion about 12 meters that took place on the SOTA reflector. If you complete your 12-on-12, be sure to let Ian know by contacting him at midnight@ei3h.eu and send a text list of your QSOs with all the details. Since this is a new venture, who knows? You may end up getting membership number 12, as well as a virtual pat on the back from Ian. This is Dave Lee, M9TLB.
Academic achievement and commitment to amateur radio has paid off in a big way for four YLs who have been named recipients of scholarships from the Young Ladies Radio League. Two of the YLs are previous recipients of Newsline's Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award. Randy Sly, W4XJ, introduces them to us.
Four young top achievers are receiving scholarships from the Young Ladies Radio League to support their continued studies. The Ethel Smith K2LMB Memorial Scholarship is being awarded to Grace Pape, K8LG, who is being recognized for the second year in a row with this scholarship. The third-generation ham and top contester is also a satellite enthusiast. She was the first recipient younger than 21 to receive the AMSAT Gridmaster Award. The Michigan resident is studying electrical engineering at Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. Amateur Radio Newsline named her its Young Ham of the Year in 2024. Last year's Young Ham Award recipient, Katie Campbell, KE8LQR, has been chosen by YLRL for its Mary Lou Brown NM7N Memorial Scholarship. An avid contester and CW op, Katie has been active as assistant youth coordinator for the ARRL's Ohio section. Her commitment to other young people in ham radio has included roles with the Youth on the Air for the Americas and instructor for the Long Island CW Kids program. Sabrina Moll, WS8EMT, is receiving the Martha Wessel K0EPE Memorial Scholarship. A student at Columbia Southern University, where she is majoring in emergency management, she credits amateur radio with introducing her to emergency communications. A recent high school senior from Michigan, Kanushi Desai, KE8RNA, will be attending Johns Hopkins University to study electrical engineering with the help of the YLRL scholarship. Kanushi serves as the ARRL Michigan Section's youth coordinator, and she is vice president of the Midland Amateur Radio Club. She also edits their newspaper. Congratulations, everyone. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
In the world of DX, listen for Tom, VK2TBC, using the call sign VK0TBC from KC Station, Antarctica, until December. He will operate SSB and FT8. Ishmael, 8P6PE, will be active as 9Y4/8P6PE from Trinidad and Tobago between the 25th of July and the 9th of August. He will be active from several POTA references. The call sign AT90VANI is on the air until the 16th of August to mark the 90th anniversary of All India Radio, India's state-owned public radio broadcaster. Operators are using SSB and SSTV on 10, 12, 15, and 20 meters.
A team of operators, including BA1GM, BD1RX, BG1DX, and others, will be active from Shangshan Island, IOTA number AS158, using the call sign BY1AA during the RSGB IOTA contest on July 25th and 26th. Listen for them on the main HF bands. They will also be on the air on the WARC bands before the contest. For QSL information and other operating details for these stations, visit QRZ.com. Finally, this week, we're proud to announce the 2026 winner of the Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. Here with the story is the award committee chairman, Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
Karsten Glassbrenner, KQ4SJM of Brookville in Central Florida, was almost speechless when he learned in a recent phone call he had been selected as this year's Yodi.
You're kidding. That's awesome.
Karsten, who is 14 and holds a general class license earned in May 2024, took his technician test at the age of 11. He is the son of Drew and Marita Glassbrenner. Karsten gives his dad, KO4MA, credit for planting the seeds that sprouted into an early interest in amateur radio, specifically satellites and using radio to take advantage of atmospheric changes to talk to people far away.
Talking through a technological box in space, but also a 2-meter e-skip and tropo, which was really cool, and some HF.
Karsten says he was pretty nervous making his first satellite contact just a month after earning his general and called on dad for some help.
I hadn't learned completely how to point and polarize the antenna yet, so I was more talking and he was helping me out through what I was going to say, since FM satellites are they're rather quick, so it's kind of hard to understand when you're first doing them. So he was helping me out with the call signs, what to say, what to copy, and what a grid square was. I didn't know what grid square we were in yet.
Karsten says his interest in sharing his newfound hobby with other young people led to invitations to speak at Hamcation and the Dayton Hamvention and earned him a position as AMSAT's youngest ambassador. This past March, Karsten's proposal to get more young hams working satellites became a reality. It's called Students on the Air Days, and they're held the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Karsten has activated a number of rare grid squares in the short time he's been active. Karsten has well over 100 satellite contacts in the log and says he's looking to make many more. He begins high school this fall and says his interest in kit building, especially soldering components, might set him on the path to electrical engineering. From all of us here at Amateur Radio Newsline, congratulations, Karsten. I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
Karsten will be presented the award at the Huntsville Hamfest on Saturday, August 22nd in the Von Braun Center in Huntsville, Alabama. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News Service, Caltech, David Behar, K7DB, DXWorld.net, EI3LH.EU blog, Facebook, FCC.gov, 425DX News, HamSci, IRTS, Pacific Islands D-Expedition Group, QRZ.com, Radio World, Rob Mather, N1XSS, ShortwaveRadio.de, Spectra Rep, TVTechnology.com, Wireless Institute of Australia, YL Harmonics, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Jonesboro, Arkansas, saying 7-3. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.